You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. Thank you for downloading the Intelligent Medicine podcast. We love bringing these to you. I'm compelled to bring you news, health, regarding your health, your wellness, about nutrition and medicine, nutritional medicine, medical nutrition therapy, all about your food. If you'd like to email me questions or topics of interest that you would like me to weigh in on, that email is questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net. Speaking of food, most people blame food for feeling tired and emotional. Can you relate? Most people blame food for feeling tired and emotional. Now, we've all heard the phrase, you are what you eat, and you are what the animal eats as well. You are what you eat. But guess what? You also feel what you eat. There was a random survey conducted by Daily Harvest. You know about Daily Harvest? They send these nice little smoothie things, boxes or cups, and you know, a lot of people are enjoying these. I'm not a sponsor or anything, nothing like that, but this is who did poll. So this was involving 2,000 general population Americans. 93% of this 2,000 that they polled, and this was done by one poll on behalf of Daily Harvest, by one poll, 93% of the 2,000 say they feel a physical impact from what they eat. And many are left feeling like they're tired after eating. And having food coma moments is not the only feeling the respondents have after eating. You know, the food coma of when you eat a carb-heavy meal or eat a very big meal. It doesn't necessarily have to be carb-heavy. And then you kind of sit on the couch, wind up laying down on the couch, maybe snooze. For most people, it's after dinner, right? Or that takeout coma where you're getting a lot of takeout from fast food, or not necessarily from fast food eateries, and you have food coma afterwards. But these respondents of this poll, they said that not only having food coma is the issue, 22 people feel frustrated. Frustrated. Can we categorize that as irritable? Okay. Frustrated. And 17% report feeling bad by the time they're done eating. One in five feel that their diet is failing to meet their nutritional needs. and 16% admit that their diet is unhealthy. Okay, fair enough. And only 20% think that their diet is very healthy. So one in five people, that's 20%, they don't think that how they're eating is meeting their nutritional needs. And 16%, again, almost a quarter, almost a fifth of these respondents, they admit that their diet is unhealthy. Kudos to you for saying, hey, I know I'm eating this, but I'm eating it. All right. That's a decision we all make. And only 20% think that their diet is very healthy. Now, 23% of women are especially concerned about their diet not meeting their nutritional needs, while only 13% of men share the same feelings. And we know, overall, women tend to be a little more health conscious maybe than men, although I'm starting to see that trend beginning to change, which is great. I think everybody should be concerned. Now, this analysis revealed that one in five Americans, they don't have any idea where their food comes from. I can't believe it's 20%. Although this was only 2,000 people, this poll, but 20% of them, right? One in five Americans, they don't have any idea where their food comes from. I guess they think that it comes from the grocery store. Okay, 18% are unaware of the origins of their groceries, and 24% rarely or never read the nutrition labels that are on the items they purchase while shopping, with only 18% of the respondents reporting that they read nutrition labels. I think it's best to buy foods that don't have any nutrition labels at all. And you know what I'm getting at. We're talking about shopping the perimeter of the grocery store. Your produce doesn't have any nutrition facts labels on it. Go buy those beets, your lettuces, your spinach, your fruit, your other vegetables, right? No nutrition facts labels there. And go into the fresh meat seafood department. You're not necessarily going to see nutrition facts labels there either. Go to the butcher. Go to the farmer's market. This is what we're talking about. So 47% of these respondents say that they've seen ingredients listed that they do not recognize on the labels of their favorite foods. Breaking this down by generation, get this. 75% of Gen Z respondents say that they always read the nutritional ingredients labels. 75% of Gen Z. Now only 27% of baby boomers say that they read the labels. And only 23% of millennials report reading the labels. So hey, good for Gen Z. 75% of you are saying that you always read the nutritional ingredients labels. Now, 48% of the respondents said that they would feel more apt to purchase sustainably sourced products more often if it was healthier for them. Good for you to the 48%. It's almost 1,000 of you saying that you would feel more apt to purchase sustainably sourced products more often if it was healthier for you. You have to take your health into consideration, not just sustainably sourced. If your tuna or your swordfish is sustainably sourced, it's not necessarily healthier because of the high mercury levels. You see where I'm going with this? It's great to see what's sustainably sourced, right? But we also have to consider that it's healthier for us to eat, if it's healthier for us to eat that sustainably sourced food. Now, 32% said they would feel more apt to purchase if it improved their heart health. You know, purchasing sustainably sourced stuff, if it helped to improve their heart health. 26% said they would buy more sustainable source products if it would help them manage their weight. 25% would be motivated to if they boosted their energy. And 20% said that they would purchase more sustainably sourced products if it helped to manage their stress levels. So, according to Daily Harvest, by examining this data, we can tell that there is a persistent problem where people are coming across foods that involve ingredients or origins that aren't familiar to them, which is then impacting how they feel at the end of the day. And that's something no one should have to worry about when their health is on the line. You know, for example, think about it when you eat a package of some highly processed food, bag of chips, Doritos, something like that, and how you feel afterwards. Now, let's come to a package of Doritos by example. There's all kinds of food coloring, there's MSG, there's all kinds of other stuff in there that you probably shouldn't put in your body. It tastes good. Yeah, okay, we get it. And I believe on Weight Watchers point system list, the smallest bag of Doritos is about 7 points. So everything has a points score, right? But should you be eating these foods? And how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel sad? Do you feel tired? Is that food coma coming upon you? Right? These are the things. And how do you feel? Compare that to how you feel after eating something good for you. Maybe some salmon, maybe some salad, maybe a bowl of homemade soup or stew. Maybe you grilled a steak and had some broccolini with that, sauteed in garlic and oil or steamed with lemon and butter and all of that kind of good stuff. So 42% of the respondents said that they rely on their doctor as the primary source of information on health and wellness. Okay. 35% rely on social media. That's unfortunate. 35% rely on social media for their health and wellness. And 33% rely on their family or friends as their primary source of health trends. So whether relying on social media is a good idea or not, given that it's the biggest source, it's the largest source of negative, biased, false, inaccurate, incomplete, non-factual, and misleading opinion-based information, of those relying on social media anyway, 71% say that Facebook is the best platform, and 44% prefer Instagram, and 41% use TikTok. However, even though they admit to relying on social media, less than one third of the respondents believe that social media has had a positive impact on how they view their health. Social media is not a place I go. And, you know, for better or for worse, it's something I engage in at all. I don't have a social media platform. I may at some point in future decide to sign up to something. However, I appreciate when Dr. Hoffman from time to time shares an intelligent newsletter article of mine on his Facebook, or a podcast of mine on his Facebook, and seeing the results of that. That's kind of nice. But I like the idea of having the website where people can simply go and read that information. Because social media, I consider it toxic. And especially when it comes to our young people. There's a lot more anxiety, depression, all of that kind of thing. And not all of it is blamed on the food they eat. But according to what I'm bringing you today, a lot of it is. So couple that, couple your surfing social media and then mindlessly eating some kind of processed food that's on the other hand, opposite to your mouse hand, right? Could be chips, could be something, right? Not a good impact. Now, 28% say that social media had the biggest impact on people using the GLP-1 medications designed for diabetes patients as an off-label use for weight loss. You know, this has taken off as probably a magic bullet. It has become a boon for many people, not just for diabetes, but for weight loss. It has its side effects, however. Now, 37% said that they would be willing to try a GLP-1 medication like Ozempic, Wegovy. We're talking about the semaglutides or semaglutides, as you know, tomato, tomato, how do you want to pronounce it? Semaglutide, semaglutide. These are the GLP-1 medications to lose weight. With 48% of millennials reporting that they would be willing to try, being optimistic, but reserved 44% of Gen Z would be willing to try the off-label use of the medications after more research is conducted on it. And 66% of baby boomers reporting that they would not be willing. Good for you, Gen Z and baby boomers, for saying more research and not willing. My bias against these GLP-1 medications is you get started. Yeah, it could be a great jumping off point. But you're not meant to stay on these forever and ever and ever. And eventually, when you come back off these medications that stave off hunger, your hunger may come back. And what will you do then? What will you do then? So that's why it's not a magic bullet. It could be a good diving board for those who are really having trouble. But taking a GLP-1 medication, the semaglutides, for a period of time, while you make the changes in lifestyle and eating habits, so they become a little more cemented into your brain, new neural pathways, all of that, GLP-1 medications can help you to achieve that. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's still a lifestyle transformation, isn't it? You still have to change your eating habits and your lifestyle because you're not going to be on that medication forever. So 78% of Gen Z is in favor of the new medications, pending more research, compared to 75% of millennials. The new medications appear to be more appealing to the 53% of respondents who describe their diets as being very healthy compared to the 37% who admit to not having healthy diets. However, 45% of the respondents say that they will be abstaining from the new medications, with 42% citing hesitations and concerns over unknown long-term effects of GLP-1s. 35% said that they don't have a medical need for them, and 23% said they're not able to afford them. They are expensive. And again, it's true, we don't know the long-term effects. We know that it's a deliberate gastroparesis that occurs, meaning the slowing down of digestion. That's why nausea, vomiting, and constipation are common side effects of these drugs. After stopping these drugs, some have reported that the ongoing nausea, constipation, that slowdown in digestion is still happening. So we don't know the long-term effects of these drugs. Does that slowdown in digestion continue? And what are the other consequences of slowed digestion? Bacterial overgrowth, putrefaction. Oh, who knows? And especially with things like constipation, you're basically slowing down your detox pathways. So I commend those who hesitate, who have concerns. They've got their critical thinking hats on, and we are all about that. So it's clear that people have a healthy amount of caution around these new medications. It's all about taking the appropriate steps and understanding whether this is the best course of action for a person. People want to know what these medications are, what they can offer them, and most importantly, the necessity of having a healthy diet to accompany their use. Again, taking the medication is not a substitute for a healthy diet. You still have to do the healthy diet, right? It's all about a lifestyle change. So if you are feeling tired and emotional, yeah, a lot of it is about what you eat. Start all of your consideration there, your reevaluation of your diet and lifestyle there. And think critically going forward about what you want to do about that. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.